Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It is the second Sunday of Advent, a glorious, a joyous time of year. A few announcements. Once again, we welcome DJ Robinson as our pastor. We're glad that we're going to have her around for the next few weeks, making things happen. Quick note on our schedule. Next Sunday is the big time show by the Little Time Kids, and it will replace the sermon.
Okay.
I don't think that's bad news as far as DJ is concerned. And that means we will have one service at 10:30 next week. The following Sunday, the 18th, we also will have one service at 10:30. We will welcome Roxanne Ziegler, Mitzi Collins, and Linda Dowell. Okay, check the bulletin. I'm going to mess it up. In any case, they will offer numerous musical numbers surrounded by spoken word and bowel. Once again, that will replace the sermon. Anyway, 10:30 service. Then, of course, we have the early evening and late evening services on Christmas Eve. And we have a Christmas morning service at 10:30 again. We, of course, welcome all of you and your friends to come to these services with special music. So, couple of other things going on. Next Sunday, carolers will gather at 2 p.m. and we'll get together here at the church. We have a list of places that are going to be visited by the carolers. We'd love to have you join us, number one. Number two, if you have someone who you know up really could use a visit, then let us know and we'll show up and do a few Christmas carols. That's from 2 to approximately 4. Thank you, everyone. Let's now begin our service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our candle lighting.
We'll follow the same procedure as last week. The choir will sing. Then you will join with us and sing Christ Be Our Light. We'll have a responsive reading and the candle lighting, and then join once again in Christ Be Our Light.
Please join us in the responsive reading. The light shines in the darkness.
But the darkness has not overcome it.
During Advent, our weary souls seek God's daily strength.
The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
We grow weary when fear overshadows faith.
The Lord gives strength to the weary.
We grow weary when destructive actions erupt in the world around us.
The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
For all of us feeling weary this Advent season,
grant that we might have the peace of Christ as we wait, the love of Christ as we act, and the grace of Christ as we serve.
seek.
Today we light two candles. The first candle illuminates patience in the areas of our lives where God has called us to wait. The second candle extends the promise of strength to all who feel weary and weak in the shadows of this world. As we continue our Advent journey, may our hope be kindled as the light grows brighter.
God of mercy and compassion, Scripture says that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. In a shadowy world where human weakness and weariness reside, we ask for you to draw near and dispel the darkness around us. May the light of the season illuminate our hope, strength, and steadfast endurance as we await the coming Savior. We pray this in his name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This time, we will have our scripture reading by our sister, Elaine David.
Good morning. The first reading comes from Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. 3 years later, John the Baptist started preaching in the desert of Judea. He said, "Turn back to God. The kingdom of heavens will soon be here." John was the one the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, "In the desert, someone is shouting, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair. He had a leather strap around his waist and ate grasshoppers and wild honey. From Jerusalem and all Judea and from the Jordan River Valley, crowds of people went to John. They told how sorry they were for their sins, and he baptized them in the river. Many Pharisees and Sadducees also came to be baptized, but John said to them, "You bunch of snakes, who warned you to run from the coming judgment? Do something to show that you have really given up your sins, and don't start telling yourselves that you belong to Abraham's family. I tell you that God can turn these stones into children for Abraham. An axe is ready to cut the trees down at their root. Any tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into a fire. I baptize you with water so that you will give up your sins. But someone more powerful is going to come, and I'm not good enough even to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His threshing fork is in his hand, and he is ready to separate the wheat from the husks. He will store the wheat in a barn and burn the husks in a fire that never goes out. And from Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. And the scriptures were written to teach and encourage us by giving us hope. God is the one who makes us patient and cheerful. I pray that he will help you live at peace with each other as you follow Christ. Then all of you together will praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor God by accepting each other as Christ has accepted you. I tell you that Christ came as a servant of the Jews to show that God has kept the promises he made to their famous ancestors. Christ also came so that the Gentiles would praise God for being kind to them. It is just as the scriptures say, I will tell the nations about you, and I will sing praises to your name. The scriptures also say to the Gentiles, come and celebrate with God's people. Again, the scriptures say, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. All you nations, come and worship him. Isaiah says, someone from David's family will come to power. He will rule the nations, and they will put their hope in him. I pray that God, who gives hope, will bless you with complete happiness and peace because of your faith. And may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. God's word for God's people.
I was so honored to be able to sing with the choir during our break between services, and I really enjoyed it. They're awesome. And since I have to stay so close to the podium, I'm going to sing solo over here.
Oh, okay.
Very low.
Solo.
This morning, our anthem asks the question, when will we see the little one? And I was thinking that this is a question that all expecting parents are wondering. What is this child going to look like? When will it be born? And all those questions that we think of when we're waiting for that very special moment. So this morning, we hope that you enjoy our anthem of expectancy, of hope, of excitement as we're awaiting the birth of Jesus.
Thank you.
So our sermon today is a good cry. And you say, what do you mean when you say a good cry? Because, you know, sometimes when we say, you just gotta get down when the troubles of the world are coming against you and it seems like things are just not going the way that you planned. Last week we said you have to expect the unexpected, and sometimes even what you expected not to expect, you expected to expect to not expect, and it just all falls apart, and sometimes you just have to break down and have a good cry. And what do you get? What happens when you cry? Love comes. Do you notice that after you've had that good cry, you're able to take the best nap in the world? You're able to actually rest in knowing that you've dealt with this emotion and everything is going to be all right? Sometimes you just need a good cry. Our text reading from Matthew chapter 3 is about a man named John the Baptist. And when we hear this name and title, we conjure up images of this long beard and these white clean garments because, of course, his last name is the Baptist. And surely this is a holy man because his name sounds holy, John the Baptist. Ta-da. And we expect that he would look the part, right? But this is what the religious people believed as they were traveling out to the wilderness. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had come all the way from the temple of Jerusalem out into the wilderness to find this man they call John the Baptist, who had been baptizing and forgiving people's sins in the Jordan and in the river. And so he's receiving confession. Well, this is what the priests are supposed to do. He's forgiving sins. Well, this is what the priests are supposed to do. And he's baptizing. Well, wait a minute. This is what the priests are supposed to do. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees had to go out with their long adorned garments and their white beards, and they went out into the wilderness to see who is this that is going and doing these things that we are supposed to do. And when they reached this place in the wilderness, John was not what they expected. See, we compare and contrast the Pharisees and the Sadducees with that of John the Baptist. And unlike the Pharisees, John did not have jewel-adorned robes. He wore camel's hair, which came from camel's skin, and a leather belt, which was more skin. And not like the temple priest who would take the portions of the offerings from the people, but John, he depended and resided on the portions out in the wilderness. The Bible says that he ate locusts and wild honey. And so the temple priests, they came out looking to see what's going on out here in the wilderness. Many of us have looked on our news broadcasts and we have seen what's going on out in the wilderness. We've seen single mothers who have struggled to feed their children. We've seen disaster that have struck all different types of areas of our lives. And we look on our social media profiles and we see that people are using Facebook as a sounding board for their psychotherapy. What's going on in the wilderness? And so we reach this text in Matthew chapter 3, and John asks the religious leaders, why are you out here in the wilderness? Who warned you of the coming wrath? And I think that John was a little sarcastic when he asked them this because he knew that they weren't really running from wrath. They were just trying to find out what was going on. But he questioned their motives. Why are you out here? And he says, well, since you won't answer that question, honestly, let me tell you something while you're here. In verse 8, he says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. In this second Sunday of Advent, we are called to turn, to repent. And so he says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And so therefore, these religious scholars, I could see them traveling in their mind. Have you ever watched those movies where it really reverses real fast and you go to a certain place in the life or in the story and it reverses, and I could just see them and they would start to recall the words of the prophet Isaiah, which says in chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and I won't read it all, but it says that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit should we be bearing? We should be bearing fruit that is worthy of repentance. Well, what does that look like? Well, it says it in verse 2. He says the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. So the Spirit of the Lord must rest on us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We get that from generation to generation. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. These are the fruits that bear repentance. And it says in verse 3, he says, and he will not judge what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But verse 4 says, he will with righteousness judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. John tells these religious leaders, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And I'm sure that these sayings from our first testament of scripture started ringing in the ears. The whole thing started ringing, and it started to convict the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had come to the wilderness only to see what was going on, but they ran into a word from the Lord. Matthew tells them, if you're going to cry, if you're going to say something, if you're going to receive confession, if you're going to baptize, if you're going to pray, if you're going to serve, first, have a good cry. It tells us in the scripture that John was a voice, what? Crying in the wilderness. Sometimes the cry is not always about tears and how many boxes of Kleenex you can go through. Sometimes your cry is a warning. Sometimes your cry is an encouragement. Sometimes your cry is a prayer. Sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's silent. But John says, and he encourages us, and my encouragement to you today is to, no matter what your cry is, have a good cry. Have the type of cry that you cry until people who are suffering are healed. Have the type of cry that you cry out that those who are bound by addiction or bound by any type of infirmity become free. Have the type of cry that when you're posting on your social media sites or you're meeting for coffee, have the kind of cry that those who hate begin to love. Whatever your cry is, have a good cry. Cry out until those who have a hardened heart turn toward repentance. John tells the Sadducees and the religious leaders, we both do the same thing. We receive confession, we baptize, we do all these things, we do the same thing. But what makes us different is our cry. Even babies have a distinct sound that only the mother can hear. I was in Walmart one time, I'll give you a quick analogy, and they said, Mom! And I was like, that's not my kid. But when my daughter cried, I immediately know. Fathers know the cry of their children. Have a good cry. And so, not to prolong it, I'm sorry, the sin I put in my notes, that you will cry out as a voice in the wilderness of people's lives and even in our own. I wrote down in my notes that our sins are not isolated to us as individuals, and neither should repentance be. If sin is communal, so is repentance. So all of us together, when we get together and we begin to cry aloud, we cry out for our community. We cry as a community for our community. So our cry ought to be pretty good. Romans encourages us to be like-minded and be patient with one another so that our cry is more powerful together rather than separated. As the choir has displayed, we can have one person to sing, which would sound pretty good. But when we cry together, when we sing together, when we worship together, the Father hears a good cry and responds to us in our faith. We are the light of Christ that shines in the darkness, that refreshing water in the desert of someone's wilderness. So as I conclude, we are encouraged to not be as those religious leaders who go out into the wilderness simply to find out what's going on. But let us be like John the Baptist, that we are found in the wilderness with a good cry of repentance. Now, my prayer for you is that the spirit of hope, and that as we turn toward our brothers and sisters, and as we turn and cry out and encourage them to come into the fellowship of God, as we listen to the people that are around us, we listen to their confessions, we pray for them, we give them scripture. As we do that, that is our cry. So your encouragement today is to have a what? A good cry. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, and believing that you abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit, you are encouraged to have a good cry. Amen. Able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, glory, and power, both now and forever. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You are now dismissed. Greet someone, smile at someone, and tell them, have a
This week's service is from December 4th, 2016, and the message, Have a Good Cry, was delivered by Pastor D.J. Robinson. You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.